Side 1. Cujo by Stephen King. Copyright 1981 by Stephen King. Narrated by Bob Askey. This book contains 319 pages on 9 sides. If you would like to skip over any remaining announcements or introductory material, place your cassette player in fast forward until a beep is heard. Stop at that point to hear the beginning of the book. Annotation. Cujo is a 200-pound St. Bernard, the beloved pet of the Joe Cambers family in a small Maine town. One day, Cujo pursues a rabbit into a cave and is bitten by a rabid bat. Circumstances conspire to conceal his growing illness until a horrid succession of bloody deaths terrorizes everyone around, including the Cambers. Strong language. Best seller. From the book jacket. Cujo is a 200-pound St. Bernard, the beloved family pet of the Joe Cambers of Castle Rock, Maine, and the best friend 10-year-old Brett Camber has ever had. One day, Cujo pursues a rabbit into a bolt hole, a cave inhabited by some very sick bats. What happens to Cujo, and to those unlucky enough to be near him, makes for the most heart-squeezing novel Stephen King has yet written. Vic Trenton, New York ad man obsessed by the struggle to hang on to his one big account, his restive and not entirely faithful wife, Donna, and their 4-year-old son, Tad, moved to Castle Rock, seeking the peace of rural Maine. But life in this small town, evoked as vividly as a Winesburg or a Spoon River, is not what it seems. As Tad tries bravely to fend off the terror that comes to him at night from his bedroom closet, and as Vic and Donna face their own nightmare of a marriage suddenly on the rocks, there is no way they can know that a monster, infinitely sinister, waits in the daylight, and that the fateful currents of their lives will eddy closer and faster to the horrifying vortex that is Cujo. Stephen King has never written a book in which readers will turn the pages with such a combination of anticipation and dire apprehension. Doing so, they will experience an absolute master at work. About the author. Stephen King and his wife, Tabitha, also a novelist, live with their 3 children in Maine in a Victorian house. Some of their friends are convinced that it is haunted. Other books by Stephen King. Fiction. Carrie, Salem's Lot, The Shining, Night Shift, The Stand, The Dead Zone, Firestarter. Nonfiction, Dance Macabre. Cujo, Stephen King. This book is for my brother David, who held my hand crossing West Broad Street and who taught me how to make skyhooks out of old coat hangers. The trick was so damned good, I just never stopped. I love you, David. About suffering, they were never wrong, the old masters. How well they understood its human position. How it takes place while someone else is eating or opening a window or just walking dully along. W. H. Auden, Musée des Beaux-Arts. Old Blue died, and he died so hard he shook the ground in my backyard. I dug his grave with a silver spade, and I lowered him down with a golden chain. Every link, you know, I did call his name. I called, "Here, Blue, you good dog, you." Folk song. Nope, nothing wrong here. The sharp cereal professor. Cujo. Once upon a time, not so long ago, a monster came to the small town of Castle Rock, Maine. He killed a waitress named Alma Frechette in 1970, a woman named Pauline Toothaker, and a junior high school student named Cheryl Moody in 1971, a pretty girl named Carol Dunbarger in 1974, a teacher named Etta Ringgold in the fall of 1975, finally, a grade schooler named Mary Kate Henderson in the early winter of that same year. He was not werewolf, vampire, ghoul, or unnameable creature from the enchanted forest or from the snowy wastes. He was only a cop named Frank Dodd with mental and sexual problems. A good man named John Smith uncovered his name by a kind of magic, but before he could be captured, perhaps it was just as well, Frank Dodd killed himself. There was some shock, of course, but mostly there was rejoicing in that small town. Rejoicing because the monster which had haunted so many dreams was dead at last. A town's nightmares were buried in Frank Dodd's grave. Yet even in this enlightened age, when so many parents are aware of the psychological damage they may do to their children, surely there was one parent somewhere in Castle Rock, or perhaps one grandmother, who quieted the kids by telling them that Frank Dodd would get them if they didn't watch out, if they weren't good. And surely a hush fell as children looked toward their dark windows and thought of Frank Dodd in his shiny black vinyl raincoat. Frank Dodd, who had choked and choked and choked.
"He's out there,"
I can hear the grandmother whispering as the wind whistles down the chimney pipe and snuffles around the old pot lid crammed in the stove hole.
"He's out there, and if you're not good, it may be his face you see looking in your bedroom window after everyone in the house is asleep except you. It may be his smiling face you see peeking at you from the closet in the middle of the night. The stop sign he held up when he crossed the little children in one hand. The razor he used to kill himself in the other. So, shh, children, shh, shh."
But for most, the ending was the ending. There were nightmares, to be sure, and children who lay wakeful, to be sure. And the empty Dodd house, for his mother had a stroke shortly afterwards and died, quickly gained a reputation as a haunted house and was avoided. But these were passing phenomena, the perhaps unavoidable side effects of a chain of senseless murders. But time passed, 5 years of time. The monster was gone. The monster was dead. Frank Dodd moldered inside his coffin. Except that the monster never dies. Werewolf, vampire, ghoul, unnameable creature from the waste, the monster never dies. It came to Castle Rock again in the summer of 1980. Tad Trenton, 4 years old, awoke one morning not long after midnight in May of that year, needing to go to the bathroom. He got out of bed and walked half asleep toward the white light thrown in a wedge through the half-open door, already lowering his pajama pants. He urinated forever, flushed, and went back to bed. He pulled the covers up, and that was when he saw the creature in his closet. Low to the ground it was, with huge shoulders bulking above its cocked head, its eyes amber-glowing pits. A thing that might have been half man, half wolf, and its eyes rolled to follow him as he sat up, his scrotum crawling, his hair standing on end, his breath a thin winter whistle in his throat. Mad eyes that laughed, eyes that promised horrible death and the music of screams that went unheard. Something in the closet. He heard its purring growl. He smelled its sweet carrion breath. Tad Trenton clapped his hands to his eyes, hitched in breath, and screamed. A muttered exclamation in another room, his father. A scared cry of, "What was that?" from the same room, his mother. Their footfalls running. As they came in, he peered through his fingers and saw it there in the closet, snarling, promising dreadfully that they might come, but they would surely go, and that when they did... The light went on. Vic and Donna Trenton came to his bed, exchanging a look of concern over his chalking face and his staring eyes. And his mother said, "No," snapped. "I told you 3 hot dogs was too many, Vic." And then his daddy was on the bed, daddy's arm around his back, asking him what was wrong. Tad dared to look into the mouth of his closet again. The monster was gone. Instead of whatever hungry beast he had seen, there were 2 uneven piles of blankets, winter bedclothes, which Donna had not yet gotten around to taking up to the cutoff third floor. These were stacked on the chair which Tad used to stand on when he needed something from the high closet shelf. Instead of the shaggy triangular head, cocked sideways in a kind of predatory questioning gesture, he saw his teddy bear on the taller of the 2 piles of blankets. Instead of pitted and baleful amber eyes, there were the friendly brown glass balls from which his teddy observed the world. "What's wrong, Tanner?" his daddy asked him again. "There was a monster," Tad cried, "in my closet," and he burst into tears. His mommy sat with him. They held him between them, soothed him as best they could. There followed the ritual of parents. They explained there were no monsters.